Once again, this morning, we included some teaching notes that go along with this message in your bulletin there. And if you could take those out and follow along, I invite you to write things down if you feel that. You know, one of the things that makes this beloved Christmas carol, Joy to the World, so memorable is how Isaac Watts used repetition in writing it. In each of the four verses of Joy to the World, when we come to the chorus, we repeat a key phrase. Verse 1, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. And wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. Repetition has a powerful way of fixing those phrases into our memories and into our hearts so that every time we sing that song, it all comes back again. The wonderful good news we proclaim. You know, it's been said that repetition is the mother of learning. We know that children learn from the time they're very small by repetition. They learn to use a spoon and fork when they eat. They learn how to say prayers before meals and bedtime. They learn how to get dressed and tie their shoes and how to brush their teeth. Things like this they learn by doing them over and over and over again. And then in school, they learn to read and write and do math. And they learn how to behave in the classroom by repetition. Now, I know that none of you, Mr. Ken, ever had to write something repeatedly on the chalkboard like the next slide shows. I will not copy again. Never happened to me, but I remember some students that had to spend recess repeating some important lesson 100 times or more, a lesson on the blackboard that they would not soon forget. And who can forget Dr. Seuss? I mean, the book Green Eggs and Ham is a brilliant example of the use of repetition to help children learn to read. And maybe you could almost recite that book from memory if you read it many times to a child. I do not like them in a box. I do not like them with a fox. I do will not eat them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse. I do not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. Now, musicians also know how important repetition is. And we're so grateful for the hours that the musicians of this church spend in rehearsal, such as our worship band this morning and the children who sang for us, to offer beautiful music that engages us in worshiping God. We learn to ride a bicycle, drive a car, master foreign languages, and many other skills through repetition. One Christmas morning, my parents led me down into the basement after all the other gifts had been opened, and there was the favorite Christmas gift I think I ever got, a new ping pong table. And I spent hours playing ping pong with family and friends, and when no one was around, I could fold it up and practice on my own. Hour after hour, day after day, I developed muscle memory, and even now, almost 50 years later, I've still got it, Brother Rick. Or most of it. transition. It's the key to good relationships. Routinely spending time together with people we love, listening and caring, serving, giving, encouraging, affirming. All of these things are critically important to building a strong marriage, to relationships with parents and children, to deepen relationships with our friends. And we find in church that repetition is important too in building a loving community of believers like this. Over time, as we pray for and with each other, as we worship together from week to week, as we meet together in classes and small groups and serve and give and enjoy fellowship together, through all of the repetition of these things, we become a family in Christ. And repetition is important in experiencing joy as well. Joy is not simply another word for happy. It doesn't just show up if you're good or only when all is well with the world. We find joy, whatever our circumstances might be, in relationship with God. And just like other relationships, we deepen our relationship with God through repetition. Spending time with God, being open to God's presence in our lives. You know, God is with us all the time. Every day of our lives, God is repeating. Sometimes in clear and unmistakable ways, and other times in little ways, God repeats, "I love you. I love you. I love you." And the source of joy in our lives is when we're aware of how much we are loved by God. You know, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible repeats this message. The Bible is actually the repetition of the radical and unexpected ways God's love shows up. You might look at every passage of Scripture and ask as you're reading it, where do I see the love of God being revealed in this passage? That's certainly true with the two scriptures that we've heard in this service today. In Isaiah chapter 11, God's radical and unexpected love is revealed through the voice of the prophet who says, "A shoot will grow up from the stump of Jesse. A branch will sprout from his roots." Now, Jesse was the father of King David. And during the reign of David, Israel was united. It was strong. It was thriving. It was like a majestic tree. But over time, after David's reign, weak and corrupt leaders, ungodly leaders, were king. And they made unhealthy alliances with neighboring kings. And they took bribes from the wealthy in the land. And they ignored the needs of the stranger among them and the poor. And by the time of Isaiah, the once mighty kingdom had fallen. And the prophet looks at his nation and he sees a stump. A stump. Short and bare. What's left after the tree has been cut down? He sees a stump that marks an ending and an emptiness for God's people. Now, like Isaiah, we might look at our lives and look at the world around us and see some. something like a stump as well. You know, some of us this holiday season are grieving for those who were once part of our lives but are no longer with us. And some of us are struggling with things that just leave an aching void, even in this season of joy. Some of us have known disappointment with ourselves, with others. We remember better days, and we realize that things that once were are not. Isaiah looks at his people, and that's what he sees, a stump. But that is not all that Isaiah sees. He also sees the radical and unexpected love of God, who never forgets us. Even in exile, Isaiah can see the signs that God is at work to do a new thing for God's people. Isaiah says that from that stump, a new king will emerge. And this new king, as our scripture reminds us, will have the Spirit of the Lord resting upon him. And he will rule with wisdom, and he will take care of the poor, and he will lift up the oppressed. And as followers of Jesus, we read this passage and we see in it a way for us to understand who Jesus is. We sing joy to the world, the Savior reigns, because we know that we are a people of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. In our families, new growth can be reconciliation after long years of division. In the church, a new shoot can grow when we care for the hurting and provide for those in need. New growth occurs whenever we reach out in love to our neighbors, and whenever we have energy to witness for peace in this world. God's love, repeated over and over again, not just through the prophet Isaiah, but also through characters like John the Baptist. In Matthew chapter 3, it begins this way. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the desert of Judea, announcing, "Change your hearts and lives. Here comes the kingdom of heaven." Now, when we look at John, this peculiar character, he seems an unlikely one to reveal the love of God to us. I mean, can you imagine pulling a Christmas card out of an envelope and seeing a picture like that on the front? John the Baptist with an angry look on his face, calling people to repent, and a crowd of people kind of cowering in his presence. And then you open this card and you read your Christmas greeting from a dear friend. "Change your heart and your life. Here comes the kingdom of heaven." Wow, that would be fun. Or how about if you came here tonight for the night in Bethlehem, and instead of a friendly greeter at the door, you were met by Pastor John, dressed like John the Baptist. And he got in your face as soon as you walked in the door and said, "You brood of vipers, repent." In our readings during this joyful time. And why is he out in the wilderness crying out for people to repent, standing with them waist deep in the Jordan River? Well, could it be that John had such a deep love for the people of God that he wanted that all of them be saved. Sometimes this repetitious God reveals his love to us in ways that we may not appreciate. In people like John, who can be confrontational with a bold call for us to turn our lives around. Advent is a season for self-examination so that we get rid of the stuff that keeps us from being aware of the love of God for us and for everyone. We experience God's radical and unexpected love through people like Isaiah, through people like John the Baptist. And we also experience it, as this great Christmas carol reminds us, through all of creation and every person God brings into our lives. As Isaac Watts pictures it, all of creation, even now, is caught up in the repetition of loving joy. You know, Joy to the World was not originally intended to be a Christmas carol. It came in the form of a poem in a book of poems by Pastor Isaac Watts. And it was inspired by Psalm 95, which calls every one of us and all of creation to join in praising our Savior. Let's read these verses from Psalm 95 together. Let the sea and everything in it roar, the world and all its inhabitants too. Let all the rivers clap their hands, let the mountains rejoice out loud all together before the Lord, because he is coming to establish justice on the earth. So it was an inspiration for Isaac Watts, meditating on these words, that led him to write what we know as second verse of Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let all their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains are singing, I got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. You know, repetition helps us to be awake to the radical and unexpected love of God. The repetition of reading God's word. The repetition of singing praises to God. The repetition of all of those practices that God has given us to deepen our relationship with him. Repetition transforms our hearts and our lives. This is what John the Baptist was really calling for out there in the desert, preparing the way for Jesus. He says in verse 8 of Matthew 3, produce fruit that shows you have changed your hearts and lives. When I read that, it reminds me of something that Jesus said to his disciples on the night before he was suffering and died on the cross. He said to them, I am the vine. You are the branches. If I abide in you and you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. We bear fruit. The fruit of joy that God offers us in Christ by making a home by abiding in the Lord Jesus. I want to ask you, as our worship team comes back to the front, to consider this day, as we continue to prepare to celebrate the Lord's coming, what is it that God is calling you to repeat? Repeat. Repeat. So that you will be awake to the marvelous gift of Jesus Christ, the one who brings truth.